The Netball Show with Flyhawk from the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games.
It's the Netball Show with Flyhawk here from the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games. Today we start with another chance to hear from World Netball CEO Claire Breagle, who started by explaining more about the world rankings and how the pandemic affected them.
The world rankings drive a lot of opportunity for our teams. For those countries in the Commonwealth, it's the way in which the teams are selected. 100% is based on, apart from the host, obviously, but all the other 11 teams, it's based on that world ranking. It's absolutely critical. The first six teams in our World Cup come from world rankings, the host plus five. So those world rankings are really essential. They can drive funding from National Olympic Committees or Commonwealth Games Associations for our members. So we're confident that our world rankings are absolutely fit for purpose. But we are always testing that. And one of the things that we want to look at is, do we take the world rankings over the right period? Should we lengthen the period to make, if you shorten the period that they're taken over, you make them more relevant to the current form, but then you've got to have enough games. And clearly during COVID pandemic, the teams aren't playing, so we've had to look regularly this year and last year as to whether we move the rankings on in the normal way. You'll probably have picked up that we've reduced the number of games currently that's required for a world ranking down from 8 to 6, to be practical. We're postponing the annual update this year, so that won't take place at the end of this year because there was a risk that too many countries would lose their ranking. And then we're starting to look at things like, should we have player rankings, which could be really exciting. Quite controversial for some, but there's some groundwork going on there. So world rankings are fantastic. They drive fan engagement, and we know our fans love to see the performance. When we announce changes to our world rankings, we always get great engagement with fans through social media and through our website. So, yeah, we like to build excitement and interest.
I wanted to actually just briefly look on governance.
Yes.
And I hear that obviously a hugely important part of the sport at best of times, but you're looking to develop an athletes working group?
That's right, yes. So this goes back to what I was saying about the really capturing the voice of the athlete. We've done some initial groundwork. We asked athletes to apply to be on this working group, and we will be announcing very soon who's going to be on that working group. And the idea behind that working group is they'll work to come up with the longer-term solution. You know, do we establish a longer-term athletes commission, get athletes to be voted on to provide that ongoing input? And, you know, there are lots of things that we would like that athletes group to consider. What can we do to support them? All sorts of things about athlete load and welfare, you know, the events that we would like to see in the future. What do the athletes think about those? What do they think about playing uniforms? You can think of a million and one things we'd want to ask them, but more importantly about those fundamental decisions that we're making at World Netball about the growth of the sport. You know, what do they think about men and boys and the elite games? So you've got all sorts of things where that voice of the athlete is absolutely essential for us.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. We've been here providing weekly updates since 2017. Massive thanks to your support throughout this time, and especially this week as we bring you daily updates. Let's take a brief look back at our 2019.
I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging. When I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message to new audiences.
What does winning the 2019 title mean for you?
The trophy is a big thing, you know. This season wasn't that easy. Every team was working hard, so I don't take it for granted.
I don't think it's something yet. I don't really have any words right now for how it feels and what it feels like to end on a game like that. Ask me again next week.
Debbie, what does that mean to you?
Everything. You know, we won it last in 2014, got to the final 2015, and then it was taken us 3 years to get back to the final, and we did it and we absolutely smashed it.
Wasps obviously went in as favourites. They've won the Super League back to back, and people were thinking, can they do it for a historic third? They looked extremely strong and they were really playing with such flow at the beginning, and then it was kind of shocking to see them lose by a much larger margin than it really warranted.
It was amazing. I was there with some of my teammates and the vibe in the Copper Box was electric. It was really, really vibey. Thunder had bust a load of Manx down from the north and they were like rowdy as hell. And Wasps were like loving life, obviously. There were loads and loads of Wasp fans in there and they were gunning for that third win.
Your first clue, it is a song by Queen. We are the blank or blanks.
The champions.
You don't get this on Five Live, do you?
I like it.
Was it just a case of reaching a moment where your personal life was more important?
Somebody said to me in regards to retirement, you know the time is right when you've exhausted all your love for the game. In 2017, when I had Barney, I hadn't felt like I had completely exhausted all of my love for the game. That's why I chose to come back in 2018. Getting towards the end of that season of 2018, I knew that it was time for my life to take a different direction, and there was other priorities in my life, such as my family.
We're here for the Netball World Cup. As the world's best are in Liverpool, so are we, to give you all of the coverage.
What do you remember most about that first cap?
The first cap, God, very little. It's a long time ago, very little.
Great that you're back in the country and obviously the home crowd is fully supporting the team.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yesterday walking out for that first game in front of everyone was incredible.
Caroline and Charney, Creating Choices is a brand new INF campaign. Right time to launch something like this?
Absolutely. You've got the world's attention here in the greatest city on the planet.
Second greatest city in the planet.
Behind where?
Behind Melbourne.
These Aussies are so competitive. Creating Choices is about creating a global netball team, of which Sharni is number 13.
Yes. What number are you?
Apparently I'm a number 2.
You are number 2.
You did just tell the audience I'm a number 2.
Acme have really loaded me up this tournament and been really, really kind to me. Yeah, they gave me engraved 100 with a GB on the other bevel side, but that's a one use only. I'm really disappointed because such a geeky umpire thing, but it really blows really well and it sounds great.
Claire, that was possibly the longest ever wait I've ever made for a player.
We're always available to have a wee chat.
To what podcast would that be? Did you enjoy it today?
Yeah, I did. We knew it was going to be difficult against a team that's beaten number 2 in the world in this competition so far.
A lot of our Australian friends have already got their eyes on Emma.
Well, we will try to keep a hold on her for a little while longer. I understand why. And for Scottish netball, if she was to go to Australia and play in the future, that would be exciting for
what about doing all the touristy things? Have you already done them or doing them before you go?
I try not to do too much because no one really recognises me because I'm short, but when you're really tall, everyone recognises you. But yeah, I guess I've done a little bit of the Beatles stuff, but I haven't done too much because I get a bit exhausted after the game.
But you're just taking everything in and really embracing it.
Yeah, it's obviously my first World Cup, so I'm just enjoying the experience and learning a lot as well.
2020 was also a significant year for the podcast.
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutting.
The CEO of England Netball is Fran Connolly.
This has been a tough week, you know, and I'm acutely aware that there'll be many, many players and fans across the country who are sad and disappointed with the decision that we've had to reach. But I fully believe that it is the right decision. The last probably 10 weeks now, we've had a puzzle with an ever-changing number of parts and moving parts. And we've struggled to be able to get to a decision, but we've now reached a decision that I think in the main we're all comfortable with. And I think it's a decision taken with the welfare of players, fans, clubs at the forefront of that decision making, and crucially a decision to protect the long-term sustainability and integrity of the Vitality Netball Super League.
I was 14 when I got diagnosed. I was at a trials and actually Tracy Neville was leading the trials and I actually felt so ill and really faint and really thirsty and couldn't really like catch or throw. So we were kind of a bit like, what's going on here? And then after that trial, I got rushed into hospital. And then from then, I knew that I was diabetic. So that's why I wasn't quite good at that trial.
What's the routine like on match days?
So I need to make sure that I kind of eat really like 2 hours before most people probably will eat, but with that faces challenges, so it depends on what my sugars are, especially before games if they are running a bit high just because of nerves and stuff. So it's kind of making sure you've got enough fuel on board that they're not going to keep dropping. trying to find that balance, but you do need to be really organised. And I guess what the difference is to other netballers, they can probably just grab whatever food they want, and if they are a bit peckish before the game, grab a snack. Whereas I don't feel like I can do that, because if I do, it might go up and then it might affect my performance.
Can you take me back to 2018 when the injury occurred out on the Gold Coast?
So it was the second game into the Commonwealth Games, kind of such a big competition, second game in. I think initial feeling was shock. Initially, I didn't think I'd done anything too serious, but then having the scan that evening and then realising that it was the dreaded ACL. I think it was devastating at the time, obviously being in such a big competition and then that ruling me out for kind of the foreseeable and for longer term. Returning to the village after having the scan and being greeted by my teammates and coaches, that was really difficult, obviously being with them and having to share the experience with them. But also I was so grateful at the time that I had them there and kind of helping me through that situation, which, yeah, very devastating and getting at the time, really.
Hello, Niamh Cooper here, Surrey Storm player. As we all know, COVID-19 or coronavirus is here. And following the announcement from England Netball this week to postpone the league until the end of April, I would just like to remind our fans, players, coaches and volunteers of the responsibility that we have to protect ourselves and others. When not playing netball, I work as a doctor in an A&E department, and we know now that those who are older and those who have chronic medical conditions are more risk from this serious virus. We can help vulnerable members of society through our own actions, and I encourage us to do this.
The only way I can describe it was, like, every time I get up out of bed, I felt like I just ran a marathon. And believe me, I haven't run that many, probably one or two in my life, but it literally felt my whole body was aching. So that's when I knew something wasn't right.
Should we be looking at netball as more of a business than just a sport by its own right?
I think you have to. And sport has become a business, and that's just because of the way that we all want to capture sport, not just in terms of watching it on the TV. Content is becoming a huge platform.
I know Melbourne is kind of infamous for that unpredictable weather, so are you kind of ready for a British winter?
No, I am not ready at all. I need all the help, support, tips and everything I need. I am coming over in the new year, so at the moment, while we're still getting 27 degrees, beautiful sunshine back home in Australia at the moment, I'm going to soak up the sun as long as I can, because I know winter is coming for me when I get over.
Last year was also significant for us as we began our partnership with Flyhawk, a purely dedicated netball brand.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It was all born out of this idea of just wanting to create a brand for our sport and a brand that netballers felt belonged to them and that equally that they could belong to as well. Because there's so many people across netball, you know, it's an amazing community from all sorts of backgrounds. And I wanted to create a brand that kind of captivated all of that and kind of represented the whole of the netball community.
When Steph sat me down and pitched to me Flyhawk, I was like, well, you know, you're my best friend and we have a personal relationship that goes back for an awful long time. So whatever it is, I'm going to jump on board. And it was really obvious from the start that it was an excellent idea, that everything that we were going to put out and everything that you would see would be absolute quality, and that it wouldn't be anything that I would want to endorse if I wasn't comfortable to wear it in a netball environment or just in an everyday sports environment either.
In some ways, I kind of pinch myself. I kind of feel like there's a lot of what I've done which hopefully prepares me well for the job that I'm tasked to do in this Roses environment. And I can't believe that we're talking about Commonwealth Games. You know, in terms of my tenure, that seems to have absolutely flown by. Mm. And yet I kind of feel like we've achieved so much already as a group. And I look across where the player group are now in terms of competing for places and, you know, some players that maybe were on the fringes of a Roses programme when I came in, and they're unrecognisable in terms of confidence and what they're able to deliver out on court. I just take each day as it is. I'm incredibly grateful and just want to do the best I can on behalf of the player group, first and foremost, these guys and the staff, but ultimately on behalf of the sport itself. And I feel really lucky to have found myself in this role at this time, because I think both women's sport and netball in particular, and netball for England, is in a really great space.
It's a new name, it's a new logo, and it's also a new strategy alongside that. We're launching the new brand because it's timely and it reflects the significant growth in the awareness and development of netball around the world over recent years. World Netball just says it.
I am a massive believer in the fact that nobody should be denied the access to participate in sport or physical activity, regardless of their background or their ability. I really think that sport has the power to change lives. And I know that that sounds a bit cliche, but being involved in something as amazing as sport and physical activity just benefits mentally, physically, socially. It's stuff that you can't put a price on it, really. So if I'm able to offer activity to anybody and everybody, then that means the world, because I just know how positive it is to be involved in something like that.
Did you ever think that the club's survival might be on the line?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, trying to stay positive during this time, it was so hard. You know, at one point, myself, my mum and her friend, who all co-founded the club, we sat down for a meeting when the first guidelines came out from Netball Scotland, and we nearly cried. Like, it almost broke us.
When we go into game time, I have to dress up. They call me the Smurf because I have to sit there in a surgical gown.
I've seen the photo on social media. Yeah, worth checking out.
Not so sure.
We're very lucky over here in Australia, and I think the fact that we've been able to keep Super Netball last year and keep it going this year has been very positive. But my heart goes out to other people that haven't been able to play their seasons, because that keeps you going. That's what you love to do. So it's really hard.
There's almost been a hub environment over in SSN this season. So what's that been like?
Pardon? Sorry, what was that?
There's been like a hub environment in SSN.
Yes. Sorry, the accent got me. I love it.
Nice.
Cameras on site, and they send via a 5G SIM card in the camera pictures up to the satellites, and then that satellite comes back to Sky, and then we put the production together at Sky, and then that goes out to you guys. So we were the first team to actually have a live sports broadcast via the cloud. That was something that we feel very proud about, because the tech guys, Andy, they were working really, really hard, and I think COVID has pushed us into jumping sort of 5 years down the line from a tech point of view.
Sky have been able to sort of really take it to another level, I think. And streaming those weekend games when we don't have the full setup, but even throughout the season, we kept adding to what we were doing for those Saturday and Sunday games. So yeah, it's been brilliant to be a part of.
My main role is Thunder Bear. It was something that was quite new to Manchester Thunder at the time, and it just kind of took off from that first dance that we did. Done dances in front of thousands of people, been on tandem bikes and things like that across the city centre. It's just been a bit crazy. We've had over 100 young fans on the court dancing around with us as well.
I trialled in the October, was selected pre-Christmas. We had the first training session in the January. The first training session was the week of the very first chemotherapy I'd had. So I did my first training session, felt a little worse for wear after a heavy international training session. Plus, I'd had my very first chemotherapy. And when I spoke to the coaches, spoke to the girls, they were amazing. And I had a very honest conversation about saying I wasn't sure what state I was going to be in or what I was going to manage to do. Or I didn't want to put pressure on those guys to feel like they had to have me. But by hook or by crook, I suppose, I was determined it was going to be my motivator to train and get through all the way to May, when we went out to Gibraltar for that first competition, just to get there.
We've seen Peace go to Storm and obviously Shadeen and Nat at Thunder. Your signing up to Stars is well up there.
I am a huge fan of myself. Yes, Andy.
We're online at thenetballshow.co.uk, and also on Twitter, you can find us at The Netball Show.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.